was already too late. I was already in like 80-90% away. Like I just had to go the last 10%. I think a lot of people quit, you know, when before they see the light at the end of the tunnel. Like the light at the end of the tunnel could be right around the corner, but they're still in that dark cave, right? They're already 80-90% of the way there, but they just have to make that last 10% push before they see that light at the end of the tunnel.
Welcome to the Social Ray Podcast, where we highlight inspiring entrepreneurs and social media influencers who've used social media successfully to build their business and follow their passions. Discover the mindsets, strategies, and advice that will help you take your business to the next level. Now, here's your host, Raymond On.
What's up, guys? In this episode, I talk with my friend Edward Wu, who's the founder of Wuji.us, which is an Asian American apparel brand company. And they sell a lot of clothing, which is inspired from anime culture, Asian American culture, but they cater to a wide variety of audiences. You know, you can see them at trade shows. You also see them at a lot of anime expos. And they basically target, you know, the demographic of people who like anime, but also want to represent that through clothing. You're going to hear about Edward's journey of how he was able to go from studying neuroscience in college to building a full brand and business on his own with little to no investment. He actually put $2,000 on his credit card and was even on some nights by himself on trade shows, and the wind would blow down all his clothes off the racks, but he would be the one to really stick through it and push through and really have a reason for why he does what he does. A big reason why he started his brand was to provide for his parents so they don't have to suffer again. They don't have to struggle because of money. And now he's built a brand where he can take care of his family and himself. And so, you know, hearing Edward's story is really inspiring to me because I see a lot of people who they complain about their circumstance instead of doing something about it. But Edward is someone who's an action taker and does something to make his situation better, and always finds a way to innovate and never gives up. And that's why he's able to achieve the level of success he has today, because he didn't give up and because he put in the work that nobody else was willing to put in. So hope you guys are inspired by this interview with Edward. You can check him out at wuji.us on Instagram and me at ray.on on Instagram. And hope you guys reach out to us if this has helped you in any way. If you're trying to start your own clothing apparel brand, feel free to reach out and ask for advice and see what he could do. And so yeah, thanks guys for tuning in. I hope you enjoy this interview with Edward Wu.
Hi, what's up, Edward?
Hey, how's it going, man?
Welcome to the interview. And I just want to give a quick background of who you are to the viewers watching and those listening.
Yeah.
And Edward, he runs his own clothing line called Wuji.us. He markets primarily to Asian Americans, and a lot of his, you know, artwork, you know, you could see it on his shirts, his jackets. And these are some of the anime eyes that you see on his t-shirts, jackets, clothes. And yeah, basically, we want to learn, you know, what you have to tell us. You're 25 years old, and kind of tell us, where did you grow up? Like, where did you grow up? What did you study? And just the background before you became an entrepreneur with your own.
I grew up out in West Covina, in the San Diego Valley area. My parents are immigrants. They came here from Taiwan. And they kind of had their small business for 25 years. Doing belts wholesale out in Fashion District. And as a kid, I would just help them out all the time in their store. And yeah, it was something that I think has always been inside me, like growing up with parents that were entrepreneurs, I guess. But of course, back then, it isn't as like buzzword as now, you know, like back then, it's just like a means of survival for them, you know, coming up here as immigrants. Figuring out how to make money so they can raise a family out here in the States. But yeah, I'm very fortunate to have had parents who were hardworking, and they provided me a life that I would say is pretty good. You know, good middle class, upper middle class type of lifestyle that. Like afforded me a lot of luxury of like going to USC. So I went to school out at USC, graduated in 2015. I'm 25 now. I turn 26 next week, actually.
Ooh.
Yeah. And I actually growing up, I was always good at math and science. So I was, I went to college for neuroscience. That was my major. And I was on track to become, like, do the whole pre-med, med track and be a doctor. And at the time, I wasn't sure if that was actually what I wanted to do or if it was just something that kind of society pressured me into getting, like, going for it. You know what I mean? Like, oh, you're good in school, you're good at math and science. Like, obviously the next step is to go to school, go to college, and go to med school after, right? And while in college, I did a lot of self-discovery, and I realized that I wasn't actually passionate about any of the sciences.
What kind of self-discovery did you do?
Yeah, yeah. Exactly? I think it was my sophomore year where I just realized I just hated everything I was doing in school. And I started to just pick up different jobs. I did everything from like working in a restaurant as like a server to like real estate. I did an internship, like a small consulting internship. I did, and I worked at the Apple Store as a like just one of their salespeople in the Apple Store for a couple of years. And I think just doing all those things helped me better figure out like other options in life. Because I think a lot of people who are in the sciences, they just go in there and they wanna, and they never try other things, right? And then they just like stick to that path and do that forever. And that was something that I think really helped me at the time. Because like, it gave me the experience of like customer service and, you know, I think it really humbled me at the time. I think growing up, I always felt like some jobs were below me, I guess you could say. And being, starting back at the bottom and just learning all that really changed my perspective on life. And it made me realize that I actually hate working for other people. Like I wasn't the best employee. I tried my best to be a good employee, but like I like questioned everything. I really didn't like being, like, how do I say it? I enjoyed the job. It's just I realized that I wanted to work for myself in the future. And so during college, I don't know if I told you the story, but the first time I felt excited about anything was my sophomore year. One of my roommates, we were trying to figure out. One day we were just walking and we were like, "Dude, there's like no boba place around USC. There's no good boba place." All right, this is before boba is like huge now, right? It's like, but back then it was kind of on the come up, but it wasn't really as like it was more like a small fad at the time. And we're like, oh man, there's no cool boba place in the area. And we like started drafting out like a business plan to start a boba thing around USC. Yeah,
as a sophomore?
Yeah, I was a sophomore.
Yeah, that's how you know you're an entrepreneur, because entrepreneurs find solutions to problems. They don't just look at the problem. They're like, okay, how do I go around it? Or how do I go under it?
Yeah. So like at the time we're like, okay, we could totally, everyone loves boba. We could totally start a business selling boba to the students around campus. We'll get a wagon and we'll make the boba and we'll like every day, and then we'll put it in a wagon and we'll go around campus and deliver it.
In a little
wagon.
Red wagon.
Yeah. We're like, we're gonna
like what kids are in?
Yeah. We're like, we're gonna do a whole delivery service. This is in 2012. We were planning it all out. We were like searched up like the cost to like a cup and like the boba and what we could sell it for and what's the profit margin. And then when we got to like the part where it's like, who's gonna make the boba? And we're in school. He was an engineering major and I was a science major, so like we had a lot of classes.
Yeah.
And we're like, okay, who's gonna make the boba? Who has time to do that? And And at that point, we're like, we started playing at how much boba we would have to sell to be profitable, right? It was like a couple hundred a day or something. And we're like, okay, yeah, this is probably not gonna work. So like, it was like 2 days of planning, and then it just like went to shit. And so we just moved on from that plan. But I think that moment I always remember, because it was the first time I was ever excited about something in life, right? Like super excited. Like I researched it on my own. It wasn't like I had to like someone assign me.
Yeah, I kind of want to expand on that, because like school, we spend like a good quarter of our life in school pretty much, and all that is just, they're just telling us what to study, what to do, but we never really like study outside of that. And for me, I think that's why a lot of people are bored at home and watch TV or Netflix all day, or even do drugs, you know, because life is so boring. But it's because you haven't found what you love to do, and you haven't found your passion.
Right.
And I think at that moment in your life, you found my passion is to build and create businesses and make money.
Yeah.
And also,
I think at the time, I didn't even notice it.
Yeah.
It was maybe like, now looking back, I like realized like that was such a special moment. But at the time, it was just living in it. And I think, but I started exploring business stuff. I was kind of like into the whole tech startup thing for a bit. Tried to learn about it and get into it. But yeah, I think my senior year, I had this epiphany this one day I came home. It wasn't an epiphany, but I came home and my dad, he was nearing 70. And he's a lot older than me. And I was about to graduate college, and I just remember, I came home one day, and I just remember seeing my dad. I realized he was 70 now. I've been living at school this whole time, and I come back home during winter break, and he was almost 70, and he was still working. They would still go out to Fashion District, like they drive out there at 8 a.m., or 7 a.m. to get their 8, and they would work all day until 5. I didn't know how many healthy years he had left in his life. And I wanted to somehow help my parents retire. And so when I graduated college, I ended up not taking a full-time job, and I worked for my parents in their small business. I did it for about a year. The whole thing was trying to take all the belts and put it online and sell it on Amazon or something. And so I did that. We were able to get everything online, and we, in about like 7-8 months, they were able to move everything to back home, and they closed down the shop. And essentially, they retired. But it was still difficult, because I had to figure out ways to innovate their business now. And at the time, I created this belt brand called Edna, and that was the name of the belts that they branded at the time. And I was trying to create like a brand out of it. And I did that. I worked on that for a couple months, and so before I started my own business. So I was doing that, but I actually ended up not, like, I hit a wall too, because I realized, like, I was passionate about helping my parents retire, but then I was not passionate about belts itself, and I kind of got bored of it, and that's when I started just looking to start my own business, and I'm very fortunate, you know, to be able to live at home and save money on rent, and to be able to explore these options at the time. But yeah, my first business was called Button Mash Ninja. Button Mash Ninja. Yeah, so Button Mash, like gaming, and then, and then Ninja, right? I was like, how do I take... I wrote out a list of gaming terms and anime terms, and I just like put the two together, and that was my first real business. How it happened, so I used to go to Anime Expo all the time. Have you been to any kind of anime?
No, but I have friends who...
Are you into anime at all, or?
I used to watch like Naruto Bleach back then.
Okay, yeah.
But I was like, how do people watch these whole entire seasons? I'm just Yeah. Even on Netflix, I'm like, I can't.
I don't watch TV anymore. Yeah, I don't watch anime.
Me neither.
I'll read the manga, but I don't watch anything.
What's your favorite?
One Piece.
Oh, yeah?
It's definitely my favorite.
Why? Why that one?
It's such a beautiful story. It's still ongoing right now, but the artist, the writer artist is like a genius. He like plans everything out. The plot is just, it's so complex. And it also talks about greater, like a government that is, how do I say it? Like kind of imposing its will on society. So it's not just like a children's story, I would say. It's a pretty complex.
Kind of dark almost?
Yeah. It's not super dark, but there are some undertones there.
Like a shadow
dark
government? Or
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, like stuff like that. Yeah, like and so, yeah, the beautiful thing about anime and why I still love it is, like, there's so many stories and lessons to be learned in this medium, right? Like, just Naruto alone, I think there's so many things they teach about hard work and overcoming hardships and whatnot.
But there's a lot of deeper, like, layers of relationships.
Too. Yeah.
My friend told me, like, Sasuke's brother, mm-hmm. Itachi, is that his? Yeah. Mm-hmm. He basically, well, I don't care what I'm going to say. Basically, like, killed all his own clans. They were going to try to, like, dominate all the other ninjas, you know? And
right.
So he actually sacrifices himself so his brother can be saved.
Right.
But Sasuke's whole life thinks my brother hated me. He never loved me, you know?
Right.
And he
right.
killed my parents, you know? Like, of course you'd hate him.
So he's vengeful.
Yeah, and it's like, there's so many layers of emotion and, like, it almost seems like they're realer than some human beings who just, you know, there's no depth. But, yeah, I agree. Anime is very deep. Like,
yeah, it's a great
also, yeah, it tells a lot about human nature as well.
Yeah.
Human nature. And it's kind of, it's crazy how deep it can get. But
yeah, so I've always loved anime. And so I would go to Anime Expo. And I think around like 2014, 2015, when I went to Anime Expo, I don't know if you've ever been, but there's like a convention hall and there's a lot of booths there, people selling products in the convention hall. And I remember going there and thinking like, wow, people spend a lot of money here. Like, I could totally start my own business selling something and I think people will buy it, as long as the product's good. And at the time, what was popular were t-shirts with anime character or something, and it would be like a parody out of it. It would maybe they'll take like, you know, Pikachu, and then they'll take like Thor from Marvel, and they'll do a mashup, you know, and then make a parody shirt. And I was like, oh wow, like I could totally create my own parody themes and designs and just put it on a shirt. And I think if people like it, they'll sell. And so that was my plan. So in January of 2016, I hit him up. I hit up Anime Expo, and I was just like, "Oh yeah, I have this clothing brand. Can I get a booth?" And so I, at the time, I was really lucky because they were expanding that year. It just so happened that year they were expanding, so they didn't like screen me or anything. They're just like, "Sure, you can take it. Like, please take our booth. It's $2,000." And so I got I opened up a credit card at the time. With 15 months 0% APR, and I put everything on the credit card, and so I had 15 months to figure out this business, or else, you know, I had to go beg my parents to dig me out of debt. But luckily that was not my plan, but failure was not an option for me, you know. Like, I did not want to end up in debt, because credit card debt is like insane, you know, like I put the $2,000 on the card. I found a friend at USC who did art, and she just so happened to be like unemployed at the time and just freelancing, and so she helped me create 7 designs at the time. And we went to Anime Expo in July, so 6 months from when I got that booth. And surprisingly, I did a little better than break even. You know, I thought I was just gonna break even, and we actually kind of profited. And I was like, okay, I can totally make a business out of this now. And I was still working at the Apple store at the time. We did that. And I signed up for night markets. And yeah, I did that for about a year. Yeah, I did the button mash ninja thing for a year before I rebranded to Wuji. Yeah.
So are you helping your parents now still with their business? Or
we still kind of do it, but it's pretty much phased out. We get an occasional order from Amazon and we'll package and ship it. But like most of their products are all like gone now. They've like sold it off. The main business is Wuji. And right now we are about 50% online for sales, 50% is online, and 50% is at conventions. We go out to conventions. But yeah, I don't know if there's specific questions about Wuji or if I'm mentioning.
Yeah, well, like, what I want to know is like that transition you had from, so you kind of shared that you help your parents out with their business, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But then when you transitioned to making your own, you, how did that come about? Like, you just, you said you saw logos and like anime stuff blowing up. But
yeah,
like,
yeah.
How you, so with that 2000?
Yeah, so at the time, right, I was 22 and I've always wanted to start my own business. To me, I was like, what better time than now?
True.
Right, like, I think there's a quote.
Gary
Vee like,
says.
I think there's a quote. It's like, I think it's something like, the best time to start was yesterday, but the second best time to start is today. And I really believe in that right, that idea. And at the time, I was 22, and I figured, you know, that full-time job is always gonna be waiting for me. Like, I think I'm capable enough where I could get a full-time job even if I'm 30, you know, or 40, right? But like, when I'm 30 or 40, I'm not gonna be, it's gonna be significantly harder to start a business, right? Like when you're in high school or college, you can, you know, you're living off your parents, you have the room to fail, right? But then when you're 30, you have kid, or 40, you have kids, and you have a family, then it's a lot harder to, I mean, it's still possible, but it's a lot harder to, society's less forgiving at that age, you know? And so I was like, you know, I might as well just try something now. And I told my parents were like, my dad was like cool with it. My mom was super against it. She was like, go get a full-time job. Yeah. And when you're stable, then you can start
security
your own business.
First,
yeah, yeah, security first.
But I don't even like security because, I mean, you probably agree with this, like having a full-time job isn't truly secure. Because you could always get fired and you could be replaced by automation or robots.
Right.
Like we see this going on literally today.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So,
And you know, I come from a science background in college, and a lot of people are going to, the whole college system, right? Like USC is 60 grand a year. So you're paying 240 for 4 years. So a quarter of $1 million to get a college degree. To work a regular job out of college, right? You're like investing so much money, and then some people are going to med school, which is like almost 100 grand a year, right? It's like almost you come out of med school, you're like $500,000 in debt, right? Like to me, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah,
that doesn't make any sense
because you haven't learned how to make a single dollar,
right?
You know,
right. I mean, of course, years. Like. People do it so that they can have a stable income, and they do make a lot of money after med school, right? But like, you're already 30 by the time you're out of med school, like out of med school, you have residency, so you're like 30 by the time you actually start making money, you know, and you're in debt,
yeah.
So you gotta pay
it. Yeah.
Right, right.
And you spend another 10 years trying to pay that off.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you're 40.
Yeah, so like...
and then it's like, dude, what's going on?
Right, yeah, you're probably debt-free by the time you're 40, right? And so, to me, I told my mom, like, just give me, like, 2-3 years. Let me figure this out. Like, if anything, I can find a full-time job at 24, right? Just give me, like, a couple years. And so she was like, okay, I'll give you 2 years. If your business isn't, like, profitable after, then... you know, and go get a job type of thing. And so luckily, you know, it was right around the 2 year mark when we were actually profitable and I was sustainable. Last year was our first successful year. Luckily I was able to figure it out. But I think like you know, one thing I really learned in college, right? If there's anything that the science major taught me, was because I was a terrible student. I would never go to class. I would sleep if I went to class. So I ended up not going to class at all. But when midterms or finals came around, I would just like fucking sit there and read the textbook. I would just read the textbook for like 3-4 days, right, straight, to learn all the material. And I mean, I didn't get like a 4.0 in college, but I still passed with like around like a B average throughout most of college. And so if there's anything that college taught me, it's that I could learn anything really fast if I wanted to, right? I think anyone can. You know, you give them a textbook, they start reading it. Like, if you're really sitting there focused reading a textbook, you'll learn the material. So if you can apply that to anything in life, I think you can learn anything, right? And that's kind of why I wasn't afraid to try something different. Because I knew, like, if I just put my mind to something, I'll be able to figure it out. Yeah. And, that was something that I was, and I still believe. I think people who want to learn anything, whether it's finance or like accounting or I don't know, or real estate, you know, anyone can learn about it. They just have to put in that time, right?
And the work.
Yeah, no one starts off an expert. Yeah. Everyone has to start somewhere, yeah. Right?
Yeah. But I think a lot of people get caught up in that. There's something called fear. This thing called fear, and it stops a lot of people from even trying or even believing in themselves. And a lot of times, it's crippling. Like fear is crippling. And so I'm sure you've had doubts, and like even though you've had, you know, you believe in your intelligence and yourself, like everyone has that fear of like, what if it doesn't work out?
For sure.
Or what if, you know, it goes, you know, to crap and like I'm left homeless. Not even homeless, like it's just, they have this irrational fear of doing something different. And it's just, I want people to think about where does this fear come from? Like, why do you even fear this when you're only gonna live once, like you said? Like,
you know, you're right. I think people always think of like the worst possible outcome.
Yeah.
and that scares them. I mean, it scares me too, if I think about the worst possible outcome. Like, there could be a shooter that just comes in and kills me, like, in the next 5 minutes, right? But I mean, if I think about that all day, I'm gonna just like stay locked up at home, not go out, right? So I think, you know, throughout the business, I mean, I failed for sure. Like, people see this and they see Wuji where it's at now, and, you know, the fans that love our stuff and they buy it at the conventions and they see all the good parts, right? But what a lot of people don't see is all the failures, right? And when I was, you know, I think it was in 2016, right before the first Anime Expo, I just remember, like, I got really, I wouldn't say depressed, but stressed out at the time, because, like, I was maybe, like, 8-9K in debt now, right, on the credit card. $89,000 on the credit card. It's like, holy fuck, how do I pay this off? And I remember just, like, just being in a really dark place right before, like a week before Anime Expo, and thinking of, like, seeing all my friends and my peers, they had like stable, at least they had stable 9-to-5 jobs making decent money and they could, you know, enjoy life, and I was at home all the time. Like, I never went out that first year or first 2 years, and I just remember thinking, like, man, like, maybe I should have gotten that job, you know, maybe I should have done that. But it was already too late. I was already in like 80-90% away. Like, I just had to go the last 10%. I think a lot of people quit, you know, before they see the light at the end of the tunnel. Like, the light at the end of the tunnel could be right around the corner, but they're still in that dark cave, right? They're already 80-90% away there, but they just have to make that last 10% push before they see that light at the end of the tunnel. But before that, a lot of people give up, and I think that's what stops most people from starting businesses and or creating a successful one, right? You have to kind of push through.
And I kind of want to get rid of that misconception that you need to start off with $1 million or like even $100,000, even like $10,000. Like my friend Randall Pitt, she started $200 just flipping t-shirts. Now it's
right.
multi-million-dollar company. So like, and you started with $2,000 in credit.
Well, actually, I started off with I was selling the t-shirts online, drop shipping at the
Ooh.
Time. Yeah. Barely made any money. But we got orders. So, like a couple people bought something. Like I maybe made like $3 per shirt sold. Right. We got the designs. We hadn't printed them yet. We just did it on I think it was Printful, where you could do your drop shipping thing with Shopify, and some people bought stuff. And that's what gave me the confidence to print it in bulk and take it to Anime Expo to sell it there.
Mm.
Yeah. But yeah, a lot of people see the successes, but they don't see, like, I remember this one time, so we were out in Bakersfield, and there was a small anime convention, and props to them for, like, bringing anime together in that area, but man, that was tough. It was 2 days only, and we drove out there, me and my girlfriend at the time, she helped me out so much for her business, and we went out there. We didn't know anybody. I think at the end of the 2 weeks, I had only made $300. I was selling like a shirt for like $25 at the time, or 30. No, it was 25. So I sold, 12 shirts. That's it. I sold 12 shirts in 2 days, 8 hours each day, and not counting like the setup and all these things that we have to prep for it. And I just remember thinking, like, and the hotel just to be there was like $150, right? And then, and not counting the gas to drive out there, right? And then like we had to eat lunch, and I think maybe like with the last bit of money I made, I bought my girlfriend dinner that night. And yeah, it gets me kind of emotional thinking about that. Moment, because I think a lot of people would have given up at that point, you know, when you're like 23. Sorry, I got a little emotional talking.
It's
about
good,
this.
Man.
Yeah.
It's good. It's gonna be like, I hate that misconception too, that like men can't cry, because that's such a
yeah.
BS. Because like we all have emotions, you know.
Yeah,
like,
dude.
If you don't cry, maybe you're a robot.
No, yeah. This is totally
alien.
Not funny. I did not plan to get emotional.
That's cool.
Now
it's going to go viral. No, I'm just kidding.
But yeah, no, I just remember thinking like, damn, like, this shit's fucking hard, right? Doing a business is hard, and it's not going to be success all the way. Damn, I kind of lost my train of thought, but...
Yeah,
man, but people see all the success. I think what I was trying to say is people see a lot of the successes, but they don't see like all the hard work and the hard times that you have to kind of overcome. And I think overcoming those moments help build the character to succeed later on in life. You know, like if I could get past that, you know, I'm like, what more can like. You can't hit me with anything, you know?
That's
the mentality I had. There was another time, it was at the OC night market. I used to do the night markets, right? And damn, that was rough too. I remember there was one day I went out there and it was just me. I was by myself because my girlfriend had work or something. And so I went out there, it was on a Friday, and I set everything up, and I just remember that day it was super windy, and night markets are outdoors, right? And it was super windy, and I had a clothing rack, clothes hanging, and every 2 minutes, all the clothes would just get blown off.
What?
Like they're just, like it was super windy that day. Everything on the tables would just flip over. The things on the clothing rack would fly off, and I would have to go pick it up, right? And I just.
Where's this at?
It was at an OC night market.
Oh,
so
was it only your stuff blowing off or everyone's?
I mean, I was probably one of the few clothing vendors there.
Oh.
Right. But So maybe my setup was not really optimal for to stand against wind. And I just remember after like about the 10th time I went and picked up everything and put it back on, it just blew off again right away. I just sat there thinking like, what the fuck am I doing? like fuck my life. Like, what? Why am I doing this fucking thing? Like, I was like being really hard on myself at the time, and I was like, fuck, like maybe this was a failure. You know, like those thoughts go through my mind. I'm sure they go through your mind or anyone's mind. You know, like I used to do a podcast too. You know, on Instagram Live. And we'd only have like 2 viewers. Why the fuck am I even doing this podcast? Like, and one of the viewers is probably my girlfriend, Michelle. But yeah, so like no one was really watching our podcast at the time. But like, I think everyone has to start somewhere, you know? And you have to overcome those challenges. Like, you don't become a millionaire overnight. You know, no one gets rich.
Really?
I think all the get rich. Yeah, all the get rich quick schemes are all they're. I mean, yes, it might happen to that one, like 0.0001%. Like, it's possible, right? I'm not saying it's not, but you're basically trying to win the lotto at that point, right? And even if you do get rich quick, like, do you have the experience and the knowledge to maintain it, right? I think those failures that I talked about help build me into someone who, like, I feel like I can take on any challenge because I've overcome those. And so, yeah, I don't know if you have any of like stories like that, like that you can share.
Well, yeah, I mean, tables have turned. Like, tables have turned.
Putting the switch on you.
Yeah, no, it's good because even doing like this podcast, you know that there's not a lot of like Asian entrepreneurs. There are some, you know, there's a guy named Peng Jun and Randall, but like not a lot of Asians entrepreneurs. There are in Asia, but not really, I guess, like starting their own brand like this. Well, Forever 21 is one, but
oh yeah,
I think
there's a lot of Asian Americans behind the scenes.
Behind the scenes, yeah. But not the forefront, like being a voice for people.
So that's what you're trying to.
Yeah, I mean, right. That's what I want. What I wanted to do was spread hope that like if someone, like myself or you, can make it, like you guys can make it too.
Right.
And obviously, like you need persistence and diligence, and you need to be smart about how you live your life. But I believe that. And there's so much potential in each and every one of us. It's just how do we unlock that, you know, and how do we reach that greatness? And so, yeah, there's times when I first started my podcast, I didn't want to be speaking. I didn't like hearing my voice. I didn't like, you know, putting myself out there. And the only reason I started my Instagram was for my podcast because I'm not, you know, I don't like just doing selfies all day, like kind of how social media culture has shifted to, but I feel that's not a right representation of who you really are. You know, my face or my body isn't a representation of who I am as a person and as a human being, you know?
Right.
And it's all the thoughts, the values, the beliefs that I carry and the character and the heart that really matters.
Yeah.
And I feel, sadly, social media has you know, a lot of people don't do it thinking that, they're just, you know, bullshit on there, like nothing worth seeing. But like, if you see a problem, then why don't you do something and fix it? Like, why don't you do something about it instead of hiding from it or running away and saying, oh, that's just how it is. Like what you did, you saw a need, you saw a problem and you thought, how can I make this situation better instead of how can I run away from it or how can I throw it away?
Yeah, you know, I think what really helped me figure out what I want to do in life, I think when I was in college, I was very lost. Like, I was always trying to figure out, like, what's that one career that I want to do for the rest of my life, and I'll be happy. And it'll fulfill all my financial goals and, like, happiness goals and all those things, right? And I was like, oh, is it, like, being a doctor or going to real estate or, you know, all these things.
Yeah.
And I think I had, like, one day it just clicked that I was looking at I was asking myself the wrong question. I was always asking, like, what's that one career path rather than the why. And, like, once I started asking the why, like, like, why do I want to do what I want, like, what I want to do? And so, like, what are my life goals, right? And then everything became clear for me in college. Like, this was, like, maybe, like, when I was 21. And at the time, I had two goals that I wrote down. The first one was to change culture for the better, and specifically culture that pertained to my life. So, like, being Asian American and, you know, that was something, like, I want to, like, do good for. And then the second one was to inspire others to pursue their own passion, because that's, like, what I wanted to do myself. Mm-hmm. And my motto was make art, and it's about, like, doing something creative or cool. And I expanded on it. It's make art, change culture, inspire others. Because I think that's kind of, like, my whole... my life model is our brand's model, and it's kind of like a cyclical thing. You know, you do something cool, you do something creative and cool, you're making art, and then when you do that, you're going to be affecting culture that art.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Edward.
Yeah, thanks again for having me, man.
Yeah.
Great shit.
Yeah, thank you.
Like, I think you're going to blow up one day.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah.
Hey guys, hope you enjoyed that interview with Edward. And I just want to let you guys know that every one of us, you know, all the people that I've interviewed so far, and even myself, we all came here with nothing. We didn't come here, you know, with privileged families and with a lot of things that we could hold on to make something of ourselves. But we just decided that we will make something of ourselves, that we will make our life significant, and that we will impact a lot of people and change a lot of lives. And so I want you guys to know that you also have that ability. You have the potential to be great, and it's just a matter of you finding out who you are, you know, what you want to do, what you want to contribute to this world before you leave. A lot of people spend their whole life at a job that they hate, and they don't really take the time to figure out who they are, what they like, and what they want to offer to the world, and how they can make a living off of that. So, and I really encourage you guys to take some time to think about your life, because no one else is going to live it for you, not your parents, you know, not your grandparents, not even, you know, people at church, you know, not even God. Like, you're the only one in control of your life and your destiny, and it's up to you to create and manifest the life that you want for yourself. So I really encourage you guys to take some time to think about your life and think about your why. Why do you do what you do? If it's going to your 9-to-5 or if it's studying neuroscience, why are you doing it? Is it really your passion? Is it really something that you want to do with your life? And, you know, no one's here to tell you how to live your life. It's up to you to decide what kind of person you want to be and what kind of results that you want to create for yourself in your life. So I really encourage you guys to think about that, because you don't want to live your whole life and pass it by, and on your deathbed, you regret the way that you lived your life. So I really pray and hope that you guys intentionally think about your life, because you only have one life. And just make it worth living, you know, make it worth watching. If your life was a movie, make it worth watching over and over again, because that's just how great it was. So I hope you guys are encouraged from this interview. Feel free to reach out to me or Edward if you have any questions, and we'll see you guys on the next episode.